And these are your prayers. Thought that we have on our heart is something we've been quite a bit just talked about today already. Been referred to many times. Thinking as the brothers are saying, that help us to be able to stand like them of old. Well, the Lord has the power to enable us to do that, to stand as they stood in old times. God is no respect of person, and we know what he could do for them, he can do for us today. God is made available. We mentioned already today or sometime, God has made available everything that we need to enable us to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. So it seems that the Lord, when he talks about his what he came for, said he, thief come to kill and steal, but he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we're able to ask or think. So as we read those scriptures, we feel that God is implying that through the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, that we can be conquerors and be overcomers. And I thought of this group of young people as they walked up here, what God could do with that bunch if he could keep them and get a hold of them and get them anointed with his Holy Spirit, get them filled with his Spirit. What he could not do with that. Think of that. Think of all those young people that have stood up here and sang over the last 30 years or so. And I've been coming here for 30 years. This makes the 30th year I've been here. Missed a year or two. But I just think, my. Oh, I've seen those young people do that for years. And I remember years ago, Sister X, remember this, I'm sure. Remember, she was in on it. We'd be up here way up in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes, singing and praying, and young people would be coming to the altar, and they'd go back, and then we'd sing some more, and there'd be some more come. And I've seen me like one time, we'd hear almost about 3 o'clock one morning. And it's just coming and going all those times. One time I baptized 30-some one day down here and 40-some the next. So I wonder what would happen if God could have kept all them. We're glad for those that stayed. We're glad for those that are going on. We appreciate the meeting. Appreciate the Word of God. You missed the afternoon service today. You missed something special. I'll just tell you that so you can think about it. And so, may the Lord bless. We desire your prayers tonight. I want to read in the 4th chapter of Zechariah here, familiar scripture, but there's some thoughts in it that's been on my mind for some time. It's an old familiar message that I have. The Lord burdens me to preach it almost, not maybe just exactly, it all comes out about the same. But I have this special burden that the church be baptized with the Holy Ghost, that we be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And sometimes we approach it in different ways, but it all comes out to being about the same message. But God is coming back after a sanctified church. And God is calling in this day, and ever since the day of Pentecost, he is calling for a people who are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and with some power and some anointing upon their lives, and something that's beyond the normal. And God's church is above the normal. It's above the normal. It's distinct. It's distinguished from all other bodies. It's different from all other groups. It's different, and the one thing that makes it different from all other things, that it's filled with the Spirit of God. That's the only distinction. They have their doctrines, they have their standards, they have their modest dress, they have their they don't wear many times makeup, they wear their certain attire and all those kind of things. But I've been to some of those places and it seems that they seem to be, many people seem to be sincere. They seem to be very, very, very careful in their conduct. Their morals are very high. And I've been around some of their places and I say, Lord, Lord, what's here? It don't feel like when you're around the saints. Lord, at times I've said, Lord, what's missing here? What's missing here? I'm seeing a bunch of quiet, modest, humble-looking people, and there's something missing. Lord, what's wrong here? And the Lord says, they like my spirit. They like my spirit. So what distinguishes you and I, or the people of God, the Church of God, distinguishes them from all others?
Yes,
because that they're filled with the Spirit of God. And so I pray the Lord will help us tonight. Hope we don't get in anyone's way. Then answered the 11th verse, I, and said unto him, this is in 4 chapter of Zechariah. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest not thou what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now we know, and I believe like we understand, that this part of the scripture referring to the Word and the Spirit, these two anointed ones and so forth. But it said these are the anointed ones. These are the anointed ones. And we can just say that means the Word and Spirit. If you'll permit me, I'd like to just apply that, that God wants everyone to be one of the anointed ones. He wants every one of us to be anointed of the Spirit of God. To be anointed for the Spirit of God. What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes into the golden oil? I'd like for us to think for a moment about the golden oil. That seems like something special to me, don't it, you? It didn't just say oil, but it said golden oil. And it came out of the golden pipes. And if you have a Thompson Bible, it says here on the right, it said the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves. And then this Bible on the side here, it says, the golden pipes empty out of themselves oil into the gold. Oil into the gold. I like that thought. I got something out of that thought. This golden oil, empty it out into the gold. Into the gold. Looks like gold would be good enough, don't it? But it seemed even the gold needed something else. So they poured the golden oil into the gold. Poured it out onto the gold. Then on the side a little bit farther down here, it said these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And it says here, or the sons of oil. The sons of oil. You know, I think that's what God would have us to be, is sons of oil. People filled with that golden oil. Amen. Golden oil. Being sons of oil. Something, I hope I can get this, that's come to me. Something that flowing out, flowing out. Something that's pure, something that's holy, something that's clean, something that enables you and I to be able to be like them of old, to have the same power that the apostles had, have the same power that all the saints have had down through the ages of time. To have the same power that Peter had, the same power that John had, or the same power that Brother Warner had, or the same power that anybody else has. God once through the anointing of this taking this golden oil and pouring on the gold and anointing them with golden oil and enabling them to stand, enabling them to have, as we heard today, or an exhortation or whatever it was, that we need this power. We need that power that God has for us. We need that power to enable us to stand. We need that anointing of the Spirit of God upon our life. Oh, how we pray, Lord, anoint the message. Anoint the message. And I pray every service, and the most tense moment of the day, the most tightest, strenuous time in the whole day is just that time before the preacher gets up. Lord, Lord, anoint that brother. Lord, anoint that sister with this prayer. Lord, anoint your word. Lord, we all know how fresh it is to have a good anointed message, do we not? And we know how dull it is when we don't have anointed message, don't we? Do that. And oh, my prayer, before I come down here every service, Lord, anoint that service, Lord. Lord, anoint that singing. Lord, anoint that preacher. Lord, anoint your word. Lord, we got a number of people here, and they come a long way, and many of them don't get to be in service throughout the year, except Monarch time. And oh, Lord, bless that service. Lord, bless that meeting. Lord, pour your Spirit out upon us and anoint for that duty. And that's what we pray for, and that's what we like, and that's what God wants, and that's what God wants to do. Oh, it's to anoint our service, to anoint our minister, to anoint his word, and pour that golden oil out on the brother or the sister, whomever he might use.
Anoint our ears.
Anoint our singing. Anoint our praying. Anoint everything you set it down, Lord. Pour the golden oil out on it, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, that ain't my message. I believe God just as much. Oh, how rich it is. How rich it is. And it don't have to holler like me. Brother Ed's mother used to tell him he was hollering at the people. But anyway, some of us are loud and some of us are not very loud. That don't make any difference.
That's right.
Just a few words anointed of the Lord have more power. We all know this. I'm just reminding us this. But it has more power. It's more invigorating. It's more inspiring. It's more uplifting. It has more accomplishing more. A few words anointed by the Lord mean more than a whole 2 hours of scriptures that are written down. Bless us, Lord. Anointed. Anointed. But oh, my thought tonight is, since this has come to my mind, I didn't have this thought when I got up, but oh, what wonderful it is. How beautiful it is. How precious it is to set in a service. That's anointed of the Lord. That's anointed of the Lord. Oh, you can't beat that. There ain't nothing like that. There ain't nothing even come close to that. Have a good anointed meeting. Praise God. I see when God's anointing and God's pouring out his Spirit and the world is being blessed, and I even see the children quieting down. Yeah, they quit crying. Everybody wakes up. Nobody sleeps. Most people quit running in and out. Oh, it's beautiful to be anointed of God, isn't it? Amen. Have God's anointing upon our lives, upon our service, upon our minister, upon our singing. Whatever we do, oh God, would you please anoint it? We pray that way, don't we?
Amen.
Well, my burden tonight is,
that we every individual be anointed of God. Our very lives be anointed of God. That will produce the very same result as a good anointed message. Oh, don't you love to hear a good anointed message? I hope the Lord anoint this where I can back up what I'm saying. But anyway, Lord, isn't it wonderful? Whether he does me or not, I'm still going to say it's wonderful. If this turns out to be a flop, I still say it's better to have a good anointed meeting. But oh, anointed of God, pouring the golden oil out on the coal. Pour the golden oil on the coal. Lord, and the things begin to happen. Oh, the stir begins to move. And I've said in service where that power of God was so prevailing, oh, that there was a hush over the place. And then I've seen it just when the minister, he didn't have to plead. He didn't have to beg. Oh, just as soon as he'd sit down, there'd be a wave of people heading for the altar. Oh, that's the kind of meeting I like to be in, don't you? That's the kind of meeting. Oh, I tell you, even sinner people know whether this thing going right or not. They know whether God's in this thing or not. They know whether it's just a cut and dry thing or not. They know whether God's approval's on that thing or not. Even people of the world and some of our children that's been raised in the truth and been raised around the church all their life, they know whether God's blessing that thing or not. They know whether God is anointing that thing or not. We're not fooling anybody. We can't hide this thing. It's either real or it's not real, one of the two. The anointing of God. Oh Lord, anoint our hearts tonight, Lord. Anoint that goal. And like I say, just as we all desire that, and just as it's wonder, and just as it's glory, and just as it's outstanding, just as it exceeds everything else, it goes above everything, anything. Man has never been able to come up with anything that will come close. You know, people of the world, sectism, they plan all their services and they have their pulpit committees and they announce all the songs and they bang on their pianos and they have special singers of all kinds. But man, haven't even come even close in matching what God, the way God set it up. God, they can't come up with nothing that'll even come close to what God can do with his people or in his services and his lineup in the way he fixes things. Bless God tonight. Oh, yeah, they can put on entertainment. Oh, they're good at that. And they can preach very enticing and all those kind of things. But oh, there's something missing. There's something missing. It's hollow. It's dead. It seems like it has a worldly sound about it. Oh, when the anointing of God begins to pour out upon the vessel and begins to anoint that word, and Lord begins to anoint that congregation and begins to all. I remember hearing them talk about one time right here in this pulpit, some young brothers got up to get to sing some songs, and oh, God got to pour in his anointing, that golden oil up on that gold. And I tell you, I wasn't here at that time, that's before my time, but I guess all the people just started flocking to the altar, and they came to the altar, and they came to the altar, and these brothers stood up here and sang over and over and over, and the people kept flooding to the altar. Oh, don't you love, wouldn't you love, be in a service like that. Just as Sister Ruth used to say, that we had one of those out of order services. Oh, praise God. I'd like to see more of them, wouldn't you? That the Spirit of the Lord would just be poured out until we couldn't even get time to pray. I've been in those kind of meetings. I never did get to have prayer. The preacher trying his best to get in the pulpit. Never could they'll get up there, bless God. Oh, that's what happens when God pours out that anointing upon His vessels and upon His servants. Well, I'll try to get to my thought. That's what God, that I'm talking about collectively now. But that what God wants you and I to be individually. He wants to anoint me and you as individuals, that out of our life will pour this kind of a life, that out of our inner being will flow rivers of living water. And what did He say? From out of the inner there, He spoke about the Holy Spirit, about in the flowing out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But it said He spoke of the Spirit which was to come. Oh, He wasn't talking about living water. He said, because the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. But out of your belly, out of your innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. He spoke of the Spirit which was to come, because the Holy Ghost had not been given yet. And so God wants to pour His Holy Spirit into our life, that out of our life shall flow rivers of living water. Shall be a source of power, a source of victory, a source of challenge. My very life, the Bible said, when He, the Holy Spirit, had come, that He would approve the world of sin. You want to prove the world of sin? The best way I know to reprove the world of sin is to have your life anointed of God. God, and that very life will rebuke sin. That very life will reprove sin. That very life will put him out of shame. Bless God. You allow me to tell something on myself or about myself. When I worked and got saved and got filled, I was saved. Just as pure, I'm just as saved as I've ever been saved. But when God poured the golden oil upon the gold, Lord help us now, when God poured that golden oil in the gold, I was already gold. I was already gold. I was just as saved as I could be. God had delivered me from sin. He delivered me from drinking and lying and stealing and cheating and carousing and talking back to my wife and puking and picking and finding fault. And although God delivered me from that in the beginning, bless your heart, I was chained and made a new creature in Christ Jesus and was made gold. But I needed that golden oil to be poured in. I never heard that thought, and I hope you preachers will let me use it this way. I never heard that before, but I believe it'll work. I believe it'll come out all right. But anyway, God, just as that beautiful, wonderful, anointed preacher get up and pour it out. That's just exactly would be the way that God would have every saved soul to have that kind of an experience, to be anointed of the Spirit of God. A very actually anointed life. Anointed life that out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Acts 10 and 38. How God will all acknowledge that Jesus was pure gold. Jesus was pure gold. He did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He never was. He was always pure, always whole. But listen, it said here, how God, we'll not take time to read about it, but it said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all of the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Yeah. What was bringing, what even Jesus Christ himself, who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. But this scripture tells me here that Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost. He was anointed of the Holy Ghost. And oh, what did it say? He was the Holy Ghost was poured out, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Oh, that's where the power is going to come from. That's where they're going to have the power. That's why there's so many defeated. That's why they're so defeated. That's why they're so losing out. That's why we lose so many to the world. That's why so many people start out for God, and then they don't make it. They don't go on and get settled and established in the things of God. They fail to get that oil anointed with the Holy Ghost and with some power to be able, as we said today, somebody did, not only we need that power, not power to raise the dead, not power maybe to do great miracles, but power to live a godly life, power to forgive those who trespass against us, power to turn the other cheek when they spot the on one of them, power when they ask you to go a mile, go another mile, bless God. You're going to need some power to do that. You're going to have some power to be able, when they come against you, he said, when they cast your name out as evil, leap for joy. You're going to have some power to do that. Well, Lord help us. I don't know whether I'm able to preach this hard or not, but I'm doing it anyway. Lord help us tonight. You're going to have this anointing of the Holy Spirit abiding in your life. Something, the song says, 222, is the Spirit glowing in your heart. Is the Spirit glowing? Is there a glow about your life? Does your life? Oh, yes. It's not just the way we dress. That draws attention, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But as I said a while ago, I've seen lots of people that dress just as modest as we do. Dress just as plain as we do. Just have as good of moral standards as we have. And love one another, and work for one another, back one another, support one another. But there's something missing. There's something missing. Oh, is the Spirit glowing in your heart? Is there something about that life that's outstanding? No matter, no matter how eloquent a speaker is, and I've heard some very eloquent speakers, and I marvel how they are able to put this out and all that. But oh, I've never seen any educated man, preacher, or I'm talking about sectarian preachers, especially right here. I've never seen doctors or DDs or reverends or educated or college professors or religious, whatever they are, you name them, so eloquent in their delivery. But oh, I've never seen anything come really close to just some old cornfield preacher that we heard about in the meeting that didn't get up and stumble along, and God poured that anointing oil on him. It's more outstanding than anything man ever has been able to come out. Amen. We all agree to that, don't we? And I'm going to tell you tonight too, a saved and a sanctified, anointed with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized. Jesus said he would baptize with the Holy Ghost. Bless Brother Carl's heart. He had a hard time performing the baptism today. Somebody didn't put enough water in the tank. Couldn't hardly get them under. Baptized means to go all the way under. Jesus said he would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. With fire. A life. A life that is anointed of God. That as I live around, people, I didn't finish my little saying there. After I'd gotten saved and sanctified, where I used to work in the barber shop, I had a six-chair barber shop, and I was the number one leader in the drinking and the joke telling, and I was the main man. They come to find out what the ball scores was and who told the best, heard any good jokes lately. And I was always a head leader of all that kind of stuff. But by the help of being saved and being anointed with the Holy Ghost and filled with the Spirit of God, I was able to live by the grace and power of God right there in the barber shop. And they began to tell their dirty jokes, who put a hand over their mouth. And we'd always stay on Saturday night and open a bottle and drink some before we would leave. And I would drink more than any of them. But then they got to wait until I left before they'd open their bottle. God can anoint you with the Holy Ghost, and He can anoint your life, and you can have such a brilliant out of your life flowing golden oil, if you please, and it will reprove the world of sin. And when you walk in, when you live, where you work, it'll just do away with a lot of wickedness and a lot of evil. Just your very presence. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to speak that. Oh, I've told this a lot of times. When my father lay a corpse and we brought him back home, that's the way we did back in Kentucky, and he didn't want to be left in a funeral home. He wanted to go home after he laying out and wake, so forth. Anyway, he was there in my sister's home, and they were a large crowd going in, and they sat up all night with them back there, and they came in, and they was having service, and there was people there, and they was drinking, and they was smoking, and sitting in the dining room, and they was having their coffee, and they smoking their cigarettes, and that was the day of mini skirts and so forth, and I just went casually a walk. I'm not building myself up here, but I'm telling you what this anointed life will do. And anyway, just as I walked back through the dining hall, I never said a word. I didn't reprove anybody. I didn't say shame on you. I didn't say this or that. But just walking through the house, they began to put their cigarettes out. They began to pull their dresses down and began to set up right. I believe God, just as that preacher is anointed, just as that saying is anointed, just as that service is anointed, I believe God wants our individual life to be anointed with the Holy Ghost. Anointed with the Holy Ghost. May God help us tonight. It said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And with power. Did you ever read that before? Would this go along all right then, that when this Holy Ghost was poured upon him, would that be all right to say that golden oil was poured on the gold? Then it should be about that, would it not? But all that anointing of the Holy Ghost gave Jesus that power to be able to do what he did. And it said here, who went about doing good? Went about doing good. Oh, not making a nuisance out of himself, and not cutting a big shine and all those kind of things, but just simply walking about doing good. Amen. Doing good. Amen. Living good. Treating people good. Acting good. Be good. Do good. But just helping out. Filling up. Lifting the load. Carrying the burden. Being on the job. Being there too. Being good. Doing good. Anointed by the Holy Ghost. He said, went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed. Oh, the world, Dottie, it said men are waxing rich over these things. The psychiatrists, the psychologists, and all the men are getting rich trying to help people who are depressed. Who are depressed. That's probably the number one disease in our land today. Maybe so. So many people are depressed. So many people are cast down. They got heavy loads. They got heavy burdens. They got family problems. They got wayward children. They got wayward husbands. They got unsaved children, unsaved husbands, unsaved wives. They got tragedies in their home. They got cancer. They got sugar diabetes. They lost loved ones. They're in grief. They're in grief. They're in sorrow. They're cast down. I know how hard you have to fight depression, so hard sometimes. Oh, but God would have you and I anointed of the Holy Ghost that we might be able to heal those who are depressed. Be able through God and through a word spoken in season and anointed of God that, brother, I want to help you lift your load here. And out of your belly flowing river of living water. Lifting the load of those who are cast down. Lifting the load. Oh, may God help us tonight to be anointed. Anointed of God. Our very life anointed. Our very actions anointed. Lord, sanctify our eyes. Sanctify our ears. Anoint my tongue, Lord, that I'll only speak those things that will be edifying, that will be inspiring, that will be uplifting. Oh, the Bible said, no man can bridle the tongue, but bless God, the Holy Ghost can bridle the tongue. We need our tongues anointed with oil. Need our tongues that we'll know how to speak a word in season. We'll know how to speak a word that'll heal the wounded heart. Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost, and he went about doing good, and he had power, and he healed all that was oppressed of the devil. Oppressed of the devil. Cast down. God help us today to be able to have a countenance. You know, as I said a while ago, there's something about it that's outstanding. Did you ever see somebody even walking through a crowd? Their face is all aglow. Their countenance is lit up. You know what causes that? They're anointed of the Holy Ghost. They've had that golden oil poured into their lives. And it's producing bright eyes and a lifted up countenance. And what's that? What's that? And when they walk in, something happens. I walked in a tent meeting one night down in Tennessee, standing close to the motel there in a large tent down the road a couple of blocks. I told my wife, I believe I'll just go down there and look around. I went down there and it's 400 or 500 people in there, and there was a TV actor or a Hollywood actor up there, supposed to be the preacher, and he was putting on a show. And he had a big band up behind him, they were beating the drums, and they was having a time. They were clapping their hands, get right to church, and let's go home. Anyway, I just walked in, I put through the flaps and back there on the side, and I just quietly had to go down about 6 or 8 rows. Just walked. And I didn't say nothing. I didn't do nothing. But I'm having a head. I'm dressed like them right now. There's something about this thing, folks. It's real. It's real. To be anointed, filled with the Holy Ghost. With power. Praise God. Oh, bless God tonight. If Jesus needed it, I sure need it, don't you? If Jesus needed it, I sure need it. If Jesus needed it, you need it. We all need it. We all need it. We need to be anointed of the Holy Ghost. Oh, here in the 54 of Acts, when they heard these things, Stephen had been telling them where they lived and talking to them pretty straight. And it was cutting them. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed upon him with their teeth.
Need some oil right here. We need some special anointing right here. Going to have something now. More than a natural man. I'm going to have more than a justified experience. I can't have no carnality on hand now. I can't have no sorrow on hand now. Now, I've been telling them people how wicked they are. You stiff-necked thee, you're the one that crucified him. I laid it down on him and he told it straight to him. And now, the table's turned. You told me this, and you're on me with all four, stomping me and cutting me down with the word. Now, the table's turned. And I'm going to cut on you a while. I'm going to cut on you a while. And I'm going to see how you act. You got me, those people who were sitting there that had been Pharisees and so forth. Oh, when he laid them down and he cut on them and he cut the word right down where they lived and pointed their sins out and pointed what they'd done out. Oh, there was something stirred in them. They stirred, and they got their wickedness, their tempers flared, and they lost control, and they got so worked up that they just run up on him and gnashed up on him with their teeth. Now, Stephen, you're so bold. You telling us how mean you are. How you going to do now? You're going to need something special right here in order to let them see that you're not a Pharisee. In order to let them see that you got more than they got, you're going to have something special right here. And he said here, and they cut on him, and they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But being full of the Holy Ghost, being full of the Holy Ghost, being anointed of the Holy Ghost, having had that golden oil poured upon the gold, having been filled with the Holy Ghost, and with power, he didn't have to act like a Pharisee. He didn't have to retaliate. He didn't have to fight back. He didn't have to take his part. He didn't have to defend himself. He didn't have to turn on them. But he had something that enabled him to be able to stand all the gnashing. And I know what that feels like. I've been gnashed on with teeth. I know what that is. I know what it is to be slandered. And I know what it is to be talked about. And I know what it is to be criticized. And I know what it is to be put down. And I know what it is to be mistreated. And I know what it is. And I know if there's anything in there, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. I tell you, you're going to have something special right here. And this man had something special. What was that thing? Him being full of the Holy Ghost was able to look up. You're going to have the Holy Ghost to look up. When they're opposing you, and when they're taking advantage of you, and when they're taking your cloak, and you're going to supposed to give them your cloak also, and when you're supposed to do good for evil, and when you're supposed to love them who mistreat you, and you're supposed to bear with them, and you're supposed to love them, and you're supposed to do good to them, and you're supposed to be a saint before them, you're going to have more than the natural man can produce. You're going to have more than a justified soul can produce. You're going to have to be anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost. And Stephen was able, and being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see heavens open. Right exactly while they were gnashing on him with their teeth, while they were throwing stones at him, and while they was killing him, and while his life was going out of his body, his face shined. Did it not? His face was aglow. I told you about that a while ago. This anointing oil, this Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit, being filled and anointed with that will brighten up your countenance. And not only when things are going good, but when they're gnashing on you with their teeth, and when they're taking advantage of you, and when they're riding over you. Am I exaggerating this? No, sir. They sang a song a while ago that we want that thing to stand like they had it all. We can have the same thing that Stephen had. We can have the same experience Stephen had. We can still be able to stand when we are opposed, when we're mistreated, when we're lied upon, and we're gossiped upon, and stories are told about us, and we've been misused, we've been mistreated, we've been stolen from and rolled over and mistreated and cast out. God has an experience with you, for me and for you, that we can be anointed with the Spirit of God, and we can look up and see Jesus right in the midst of the whole thing. Amen. Jesus was anointed. Stephen was anointed. Oh, what a meeting that was. That thing was so outstanding. That being able to see this man under pressure. I'm going to say something right here. You and me are what we are under pressure. That's what we are. That's how much power we have with God. That's how much spirituality we have. That's how saved we are. That's how much of God we've got on hand. Is exactly how much, if you want to be able to measure how much God you've got on hand, you watch yourself under pressure. And when it gets down there, and it's right on the very bottom, and the squeeze is on, and the pressure is on, and death has got a hold of you, and the very life is being about crushed out of you, and your spirit has been so wounded that you can hardly hold your head up, but still be able to look up and have a glow on your face and be able to forgive those who are doing the job, I'll tell you, you can't preach no louder message than that. This message that Stephen preached here had such a fire. There was a young man standing by that place. There was a young man standing there, and he was some young man, and he helped the coat of some of them down there. But oh, Paul was standing there observing this thing, seeing this man under pressure, being abused, being accused, being cut down, being gnashed upon, being his very life, rocks being thrown at him, and being stoned to death, and his face still aglow, and he still had control of himself. Oh God, we need more control of ourselves. We need more control under pressure. We need more control when things are going wrong. We need more power. When God said it's time to go home, we need power to die with. We need power to trust God. We need power to stay under pressure when the things happen. We need the anointing of God right there more than we'll ever need it in our life. But bless God, I can testify to you tonight. It works. It works. God, I will hold you up under all circumstances. The pressure can't get too great. The power, the grief. I never know there was grief like I've had it. I never know a man could grieve as much as that. But God's power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost enabled me to keep the victory and the whole thing. God, this thing is real, my friends, tonight. And my burden is that we all be filled and we all be anointed of the Holy Ghost. Bless God tonight. Paul looked on this thing and he seen this man had something. And it don't say this in the Bible, I don't think. But I am believing in my heart tonight, if you'll permit me to say that, I don't believe he ever forgot that scene. I don't believe he ever forgot that. And when people see you and I, knowing into the Holy Spirit, our very lives filled with God, filled with the Spirit, and God, they see us being so. We had an experience with that down in the courtroom not long ago. You see the effect that has on people. You see when a sister stands true. You see, when she's standing there with the, I don't see how you could be under much more pressure than that. That's outstanding. And I'm going to tell you something. That was not Sister Anita standing there. I've heard people say she was a strong woman. You know how strong she was? Just as strong as how much God she had in her. That's how strong she was. Natural person couldn't have stood that. But God, Jesus, was anointed with the Holy Ghost. This man here was filled with the Holy Ghost. Leaven. Let me see if I can find something. 11 and about 24. There's another. These are just familiar scriptures. It says here, 23rd verse, who when they came and seen the grace of God was glad, exalted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. And he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And of faith. And listen to this. And much people was added to the Lord. And much people was added to the Lord. I believe it'll still work that way today. I believe with a group of people. You give me a group of people or 50 people in a congregation, all anointed to the Holy Ghost, all filled with the Holy Ghost, all endued with the power of the Holy Ghost, I'll show you a congregation that'll begin to grow. Amen. I'll show you things begin to stir in the community. This Holy Ghost, I don't want anybody to get accused right here, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Bible said that many people was added to the Lord because this man was filled with the Holy Ghost. This man was able to put on exhibition an anointed life that reproved people of sin. And something went out of him. What is that scripture in Proverbs? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. That fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Oh God, what would happen if that was flowing out of all of us? Think about it. Think about it. No wonder Paul was convinced. No wonder, I believe Paul had bad dreams about that. I believe that's one thing he might have said. It got so bad after he got saved that he just said, I'm just going to have to forget the past. That thing keeps tormenting me, persecuting the saints and having them put in jail and all those kind of things. That thing tormented me so long, I can't keep the bear. I'm just going to have to put that all behind me and go on to perfection. Oh, I don't think he ever forgot the scene that he saw there with Stephen that day. And the people here, when they seen this man that was full of the Holy Ghost, it said there were many added to them. And it said, and he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Much people was added unto the Lord. When they seen that, you want to win your loved ones. You want to have an impression on your unsaved companion. You want to have an impression with the men you were. You want to be able to witness and testify. You want to be able to draw somebody to the Lord. You can never do it any better way than to have an anointed life of God. To be anointed of the Holy Ghost. Exhibited, putting on an exhibition. Under pressure, under persecution, under trying time. When the boss is cutting me down. When I'm being mistreated. When I've been fired, when I've been lied upon, and when I've been stole from, and when they've taken things that belong to me. One place it said in Isaiah somewhere maybe that they lay down and they walked over them. and still was able to manifest a godly, spirit, holy life under those kind of conditions. I'm going to tell you, my friends, natural man can't do this. Carnal man can't do this. Justified people can't do that. That's why God, that's why he said, go into Jerusalem. God seen those disciples. He seen when Peter cut that man's ear off. When he come up there, you want me to pray and rain fire down upon him? Jesus seen that. He knew that. And Peter, he couldn't control himself. Oh, they mistreated Jesus. He pulled that sword out. He whacked that man and cut his ear off. Boy, that was an act of carnality, wasn't it? Jesus knew that. He seen that desire for supremacy. When the woman came and said, let my son, one sit on one side and one on the other. God seen that pride. He seen that desire to excel. He seen that desire to be above somebody else. He seen that. And then he said, I've got to go away. But he said, it's good for you. It's needful for you that I go away. Because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I'll send him unto you. And he'll abide with you forever. And he'll be proving the world of sin. How's he going to do that? Through anointed vessels. Do you ever notice how a good anointed message, and I hope this will be that good tonight, a good anointed message most of the time gets a response from those who are in need, does it not? It convicts sinners. It shows people their need. It exposes them. And many, many times they're moved to do something about it. Just as that preacher is anointed, and that message is anointed, and that word is anointed, I am convinced tonight that an anointed Holy Ghost-filled life will produce some of those same results out in the greater outer world. Right on the job. Right in the school. Right in the home. Amen. It'll produce. That kind of anointed life will produce results. It will reprove the world of sin. And he said it. He would not speak of himself, but whatsoever he heard, that would he speak. And he would show you things to come. Praise God. And he said he would lead and guide you into all truth. Amen. One sister one time had a hard time. She couldn't believe in two works of grace. She couldn't see it. She couldn't understand it. Can I get it all at once? All those kind of things. I said, sister, how long have you been saved? I've been saved 12 years. And I said, you mean you don't know the truth yet? You don't know the truth yet? Well, yeah. I said, well, you don't know that. I said, the Bible says when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. And you've been saved 12 years and you don't know the truth about sanctification? No. See, that's why people wander around. That's why they never come to a knowledge of truth many times. That's why they get discouraged with their experience. They hear the preacher up here and they see the glory of God shining upon their faces. They see somebody get up and testify over here and how God is blessing them, how God is healing them. And one fellow I heard on the radio one time, it was a call-in program, like, and they said, did he believe in people being sanctified? He said, it was kind of religious, supposed to be some kind of religious thing. But anyway, he said, I don't know where people get sanctified or whether they don't. I can't say, he said. But he said, I have never seen anybody yet that was. Amen. That was just a worldly man talking, I guess. But may God help us tonight. Then when I see, this is what the people many times that don't believe in what I'm preaching tonight. They believe you get saved all at one time. Feel the Holy Ghost, all that. But then they don't see what the Bible teaches that a sanctified life produces. And then they say, well, I ain't God. I'm not saved. Not saved. Many, many people have been cheated out of their experience with the Lord. Been accused and abused of the devil and said, you don't have it. Well, the reason you feel that way is because your life is not producing what the preacher is preaching, what the people are testifying to, and your life ain't producing that. And therefore, you feel like you don't have anything. You know what you need to do? You need to go on and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can have a testimony too.
Amen.
And you can forgive folks too when they come against you. And you can be abused and accused and stoned and gnashed upon with your teeth. And you can be mistreated and cast out and misunderstood and be more mistreated and still maintain victory in your soul. And not only that, you can be an example right under the pressure. I'm going to say again, and I want you to remember this, that we are just what we are under pressure. When the squeeze is on, you get to squeezing somebody, and whatever's in there going to come out. You get to putting the vice there, put you in a vice somewhere or another, begin to turn the screws on it. You see what comes out. If there's carnality in there, he'll come out, I guarantee you. If there's sin in there, he'll come out. From out of the heart come the issues of life. But if it's been anointed with the Holy Ghost, had the golden oil poured on the gold, then the more you squeeze it, the sweeter it'll get. Brother Hargrave said, a sanctified life is like honey. The older it gets, you know, it turns to sugar. The sweeter it gets. The older it gets, the sweeter it gets. The more dedicated, the more consecrated, the more you're filled and led and yielded to the Holy Spirit, the more sweeter you're going to be. The more sweeter. And this thing's going to become so real. And God's going to walk with you. And He's going to, it said He would dwell in them, didn't He? And walk in them. And He'd be their God. And we could be His people. And He's going to become reality to you. He's going to become real to you. And He's going to be right here. He's going to be present, knowing He's there. Reach out and touch Him. Reach out and touch Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. I remember the time I got sanctified, and don't you try to get yours like this. I didn't get a great out shouting thing, but oh, when I went up and laid it all on the altar, I was so green and so ignorant of the truth. But God in His love and mercy had let a minister get up and show me exactly what to do. I did what the minister said to. I gave God everything I had on hand, everything I had in the past, and everything I ever would have. I gave it all to God. And I was honest and I was innocent and I was sincere. And I'd already been out in the woods the night before looking up into the heavens. God, if you got anything else for me, I want it. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know altogether what I needed. I'd got confused and I'd got some bad instructions about this thing. Hope you don't get confused tonight. And Lord, I want what you have. I know you've got something more for me, Lord. And I was over in Myrtle, Missouri, and out in the pasture field, looking up into the heavens. Oh, God, I need something, Lord. Lord, would you give me whatever I need? And the Lord spoke out of heaven, and He said, I'll take care of it in the morning.
Praise the Lord.
And He did. And He did. And oh, I went up there, and I consecrated everything to God, and I was anointed. Lord poured the golden oil in that little soft place on top of my head. Now you may not get yours like that. And it run down through me, and it run down over me, and down into my legs, and down in my toes. And I got up quietly, and I didn't want to talk to nobody. I slipped out as soon as the meeting was over. We went down and we were living in a tent down there.
wife was there. I think Sister Della was there that night. And I walked in the little tent, and both of them got under conviction just as I walked in the tent. They were such a godliness there. They were such a solemnity there. Oh, I felt that so much in the last year or so. Such a presence of God. Such a reality of God's presence in your life. It's so outstanding. It's so wonderful. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, God has enabled me to live for it now, 34 years. Under just about almost all kinds of circumstances. It's been an up and down. I mean, not spiritually, but I've had some trials, as you have, I'm sure. But I've never backslid. I've never backslid. Thank God for that. I've almost done it a couple of times, but I never have. I've been kept by the power of God through faith. When I couldn't pray, and when I had no power, and when I couldn't read. And last spring, I didn't want no money around. I couldn't stand to read anybody read the Bible to me. They'd read streams and they don't want to hear that. Songs, them old songs I love so much. I can't stand them. My nerves are so bad. And I couldn't help myself. I couldn't pray. I couldn't read. Couldn't go to church. But I was kept by the power of the Holy Ghost. I was preserved by God till things could get better. Till things could get better. I know that as well as I'm standing here tonight. That I was kept by the Holy Spirit. God bless your hearts tonight. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost since you believe, do you feel you need anointing? If you'll let me use this way tonight. Do you feel you need that anointing that Jesus had? Now we're all desiring to be more like Christ, David. The Bible said Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good, being able to lift the burdens and heal the oppressed. And he had power. And he went on, and Stephen, going back to him a moment, when he was stoning and his very life was going out of him, what did he say? He looked up and he said, "Forgive him. Forgive him. Forgive them." Natural man can't do that. Justified person can't do that. You've got to have that anointing. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Forgive them, Lord. Jesus had that same power. Forgive them. They don't know what to do. Because the Holy Spirit enabled him to do that. He was a man filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. May God help us tonight. This same man that stood there and seen Stephen, seen the life, seen the manifestations of the power of God through this man's life, him being full of the Holy Ghost, was able to stand here in the 13th chapter. And it will not take time to read. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed fourth verse, and so forth and so on. Which was a Debedean, said, but Helmas the sorcerer, for so his name was interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the Debedean from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eye on him
and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteous, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? The same old Pharisee that got saved on the road to Damascus was able to look the devil right in the eye and defy him. And defy him. That's what it means to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. Let's stand and sing that song. You'll never know what the Lord will bestow till all are called. You here tonight? You want this anointing? You want this power? You want this victory? You want this presence of God in your life? Be a good time tonight to move out for that. Oh God, we need everyone to be anointed. You want the preacher to be anointed? You want the songs to be anointed? You want the service to be anointed? God wants you to be anointed. He wants your very life to be anointed of the Holy Spirit.